WHBC, Garden City, New York.
This is Motormouth Radio, your one-hour automotive talk show. And now, here are your Motormouths, Chris Switzer and Ray Guarino.
What a Sunday afternoon. Mother's Day 2007. Good afternoon. I'm Chris Switzer, of course. Ray Guarino sitting across the shop bench. And we have a very special show today.
Oh, we do.
Yes, we do. It's the Motormouth Mother's Day extravaganza. It's going on. We play the best bits from 2006 and 2007, and it's our gift to all you mothers out there.
And we have some that listen to the show for sure.
This is true.
So, but don't call in on that, because we're not taking calls today.
Yes, we can't, because we have a jam-packed hour of bits here. I just could not turn them away.
It's a pre-programmed, live-on-tape kind of show.
Pretty much, yeah. So we're going to get the show started right now, once I hit that button there. We're going to get this show started. This is one of my favorites. This is, I would say, a personal problem that mom really can't solve.
That's true. But I helped solve it for you.
Yes, you did.
See? Only some things a buddy can take care of.
This is true. So here's the best way to start the Mother's Day, Motormouth Mother's Day extravaganza, with a bit about a little personal problem that I had. Let's check it out. It was a very interesting week automotively.
What happened in the garage west?
I have found that my lug nuts are rusty.
Well, we knew that. We knew that. Tell me something we didn't know. So what are you going to do?
I'm sitting there. Because we had that 55-degree day yesterday.
Oh, it was nice.
It was. I grabbed the garden hose, and I did my usual ritual, my March ritual.
The spring high colonic?
You betcha.
Okay. Yeah, so what is that how you rusted your nuts, or was that before?
I took the garden hose, and I went through the wheel wells of the truck, and I came out with more sand and dirt and salt. I don't know what it was, but it looked like breakfast cereal all around the truck.
Because you park on Brighton Beach. So what do you expect?
All this stuff. And as I'm cleaning and sudsing, and I looked at the lug nuts on the wheels, and they're all at the creases of the nut are all starting to rust.
Are they acorn-style nuts?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
And they're chrome.
And at the crease of the nut.
Right. At the what would you say, the chamfer?
Okay.
The edge of the nut itself?
Yeah.
Of the five-sided nut?
Right.
Yeah, it's starting to rust all there, all on at that edge. Yeah. I got rusty nuts, Ray, and I don't know what to do.
You have a nut brush.
Yes, I do have a nut brush.
You have a nut brush.
I have a brush to brush my nuts.
So spray some, penetrating. Hey, Earl, come on, man. You want to borrow it? You spray some anti-corrosive or WD-40, which works great, and you can, work it in with the nut brush.
Yes.
And therefore helping to break up the corrosion that's there and protect it from further corrosion. But the salt is what the killer. The salt.
Yeah.
And that's why guys with mag wheels years ago used to take the mag wheels off in the winter.
Right.
Put the steelies back on with the regular acorn nuts, maybe a pair of dog dish hubcaps.
Yeah.
And run through the winter like that, and then put the good stuff on in the spring again.
And it will save your nuts.
I like that, Earl. Oh, yeah. Well, it helps. Earl likes it.
There you go. This is how you solve a personal problem right there on the Motormouth Mother's Day extravaganza, playing the best bits of 2006-2007.
Did you ever get your nuts de-rusted? I didn't check on you, so I don't know. But I'm curious.
Well, aren't we all? Yes. And the answer is yes. The nuts have been de-rusted.
Excellent.
And I'm feeling much better.
Beautiful, beautiful.
So now here's something from the Motormouth Radio Dumb Luck Department. Let's see what happens when you bring your friend to go look at a bike.
All right.
On the extravaganza.
See, I didn't tell you the rest of the story.
You didn't?
I was saving this because it just so happened yesterday I went with Crazy Neil, my friend Neil, to go look at a motorcycle.
Okay.
And it was out east somewhere. So I said, okay, look, I'll drive you out there and we'll look at it and maybe we'll bring it. We're trying to figure the whole thing out, the semantics. Well, anyway, speaking with the gentleman that owns the bike, nice guy, we're talking, and he says, he mentioned that he was working at night. So a lot of guys work at night. Kevin does night work. A lot of guys do night work.
So do I.
So do you. So it was around the third time he said it, and I just happened to ask, hey, by the way, what do you do, if you don't mind me asking? So he tells me he's in live TV. I'm like, wow, live TV.
Sorry to hear that.
I said, I'm trying to get into live radio. I said, but it ain't working. Oh, really? What do you do? So I said to him, well, I do just a little local show. I figured he's way out in Suffolk. I said, Motormouth Radio. He says, oh, you know Chris Switzer?
What?
I said,
get the heck out of here.
I said, yes, I do. Chris and I co-host the show on Sunday. Right. He goes, oh, great guy, Chris Switzer. And his wife came out. I met his wife. She knows Chris Switzer. Not only that, she used to work here at the college in the TV area. She knows people that I know here at the college through TV and all.
You're fudging with me again.
Oh, sir. I am not. I am dead serious, sir. And
No. I believe when you told me Mr. Pongliotti last week,
was
your high school shop teacher. Mm-hmm. No. You can't get me. You can't fool me again.
Oh, I sure can.
Well, sure can.
So we went around for quite a while, and it ends up, do the names Adam and Claire mean anything to you?
Yeah.
These are the people that, this is who Neil bought the motorcycle from.
Neil bought Adam's Honda Shadow.
Honda Shadow. That's correct. And Claire was out there chatting up. Such nice people. She's such a sweet woman.
Claire hired me.
She told me.
She hired me at my position now.
Yeah.
Because
then he says, he tells me where he works. I'm, wait a minute, that's where Chris works. So Neil has this theory. It's like, you know, the 7 degrees of separation to Kevin Bacon. Yeah. He claims a 2 degree separation to me from anyone because he runs into people who either I know or they know. You know, it's very close. So when he saw this unfold in front of him, literally, Neil just stood back with this incredulous look on his face and said, dude, I can't believe it. He goes, because it was just a fluke that I went with him. You know, he was going to go by himself, and I agreed, like, to drive him all the way out to, you know, ungodly part of Suffolk County.
Right.
He says, and now, it's like, you know the guy. I'm like, well, kind of do. Because now Adam and I are talking, and Claire and I are talking. Neil was almost like an afterthought. Got to look at the bike, Neil. So.
That is a scream.
Unbelievable. And I mean, I was just as floored when I heard this.
Well, here's the ironic part about that. Yeah. I was talking to Adam. When was it?
When he dropped your name, I was like, oh, man. I'm not wearing a shirt.
When I was talking to Adam, I spoke to him, when was it? It had to be about Thursday or Friday. And he told me, he says, if you know anybody who wants to buy my Honda, let me know. Adam takes meticulous care of his vehicles.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, all right, well, he's a guy that I would definitely pass the word around.
Yeah.
But he did say, there was this one guy who was interested in the bike.
Crazy,
and I was going to show it to him. I didn't know it was Neil.
No, of course not. Neil follows the Honda Shadow because he's been looking for an 1100 Shadow specifically. He's going to Ohio in like 2 weeks.
Oh, my God.
And he was watching the message board. Adam posted the bike. Neil jumped right on it, and he was thinking, boy, I don't want to be like the first guy. I don't want to be too anxious. You know, because you're playing a game with a buyer-seller thing.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And I said to him, well, Neil, you may be at a detriment because you're going to be a little anxious and this is the first guy looking at it. He may just play it cool because you're the first guy, you know.
Right.
I said, let's go see what the guy's about. We roll up to the house, and, you know, looks like he's an average-looking guy. And then we started talking with him. He's a very, very nice fella.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. And so, he's cool.
But when that happened, I mean, there you go. I just happened to say, you know, when he said he was in live TV, I said, oh, yeah, I'm trying to do live radio. And then, you know, it just went boom, boom, boom. Oh, do you know Chris Switzer? I said, here we go again, folks. I was floored. I was floored. So now because
that
of you, because everybody knows everybody, now they're doing the friendly thing. Adam gave him a copy of the title first, and now it's like dealing with your cousin, you know. So Neil is eternally grateful. He's thankful that he brought me, I guess.
I love it. What was the aftermath of that? Did Neil still happy with the bike?
He rode the bike to Ohio 2 weeks later. He's been riding it ever since. He's actually treating it nice. Like, you know, his stuff is like real down and dirty, rat rod, flat black.
So this was he.
So was he, absolutely. This bike is like, oh, dude, I got to wax it. I got to clean it. I'm like, Neil, that ain't you, man.
But Neil's a changing. And that's the reason why we do this show is because we like to just get those people, you know, get that 2 degrees of Ray Guarino.
I thought the reason was Adam and Neil were each going to kick us back a percentage, and we never saw it. So.
Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah, I forgot about that. But anyway, the real reason why we do this show is to help people with their cars.
Correct.
And help people with their bikes. And when you come down to it, there's some people I would never take any automotive advice from.
Yes.
And, you know, basically one of them, I wouldn't even buy a car from them either, this particular individual, our Motormouth manager, Rob Leonard.
Yeah.
Love him to death, but never, ever buy a car from him or ever, you know.
Just don't follow his maintenance plan. Yeah, because...
Or follow him on the road.
So if you buy him now, folks, go the other way. Change lanes, quick.
Because both his maintenance plan and his car are smoky.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we're going to find out why right now here on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza.
Speaking of Rob Leonard, he is in the studio with us.
And that was Paul McCartney.
And we're going to bash him.
He looks like Paul, doesn't he?
Why are you going to bash him?
Because
my tire changed.
Because, you know, Rob has got...
Let me tell you something.
Mic two.
Yes. Let me tell you something. When we talked on Thursday, I said I need a new tire.
Right.
And what I did was I went to the gas station. My tire was overinflated, and I dropped it about, I don't know, it was about 10 pounds.
How much? Oh, so it was about 50 pounds, 40 pounds?
What
was
it? About 45.
45 pounds in the tire.
Yeah. So I lowered it, and right. then I actually lowered it to 25 and then filled it to 35. I get home, I go out about 2 hours later, and my car is more than flat. There's like a hole. It like exploded or something. So I had to change the tire, and then I went Friday to get a new tire, but they couldn't fix it in time because I had to do my show, and I went after work. And well, I went Saturday, same
priorities.
Place, and the place was even more packed.
Right.
So I'm going there right now.
So weren't you telling me about what were those things that were sticking out from the side of your tire?
Little pieces of wire.
Yeah. Are you hearing this?
The cords were sticking out of the tire. Well, I like to get utility out of my stuff. I like to get high utility, but that is going a little too far, my friend.
Hey,
that's like having your toes sticking out from your shoes.
Oh, that's happened with Rob.
I believe it. I see a nail.
No, I mean, it was...
Rob, you have to get out and look at the. You got to walk around the car once in a while.
I never really checked the tires per se.
We see that type of thing.
I didn't realize that the tires. I wouldn't say totally new, but.
But I
the
think
rest
Chris hit on
okay.
it when you're supposed to be doing your monthly pressure check for the air in your
Which
tires.
I don't do.
That's when you get a look at the tires.
I know.
You know.
But did you hear what he said? No, I don't do.
I check my oil and fluids every time I.
Go to the bathroom.
Gas.
See, that's what I like about Rob. He is the quintessential average car owner on Long Island.
And that's why we love making fun of him.
Yeah, and that's why we see people broken down the side of the road with tires that look like, you know.
Right, shredded wheat.
Shredded wheat, right, because they didn't
check
the
tire. Well, I cut myself on my finger because of the wire sticking out. I grabbed the tire and it was like, ow.
Remember the commercial? 7, wrapped by 2, around 1.
Yes.
That's the old Firestone 721 radials that they banned from the market after about 2 years.
Why, what happened?
They were shredding apart and they had a design problem.
So you see why you don't buy a car from Rob Leonard, even though he does make a very good Motormouth Radio manager.
He makes a good promo for what not to do. I don't know if he ever did get new tires.
No.
I think he got a box of shredded wheat, though.
Well, take a look. You see all that retread out in the parking lot?
I thought he was parked on hay. Oh, no, that was the tire cords. I'm sorry.
And you know, sometimes fixing cars, you know, can lead to, like, health problems. Like Rob said, he cut his finger. You know, sometimes the health problems can be a little worse than that.
Yeah.
The way Mr. Harvey Luckman can tell you.
Great guest.
Yes, definitely. He's a what would you say, classic car, exotic car extraordinaire on the west side of Manhattan. And yes, a very good guest and a very good storyteller. Here's why.
People have passion for these automobiles.
Well, you know, I've had guys have heart attacks right there, just right in the shop, you know. Yeah. Oh,
want to get the bill?
No.
Yeah, probably.
Well, you know, crazy things are. Back when the electronic ignition first came out, of course, no one knew about the cars stalling out, and cars would get towed back in, and they'd start right up. So fellow buys a car from the dealer, and they used to deliver it by us, and they would come with the champagne, and it was make a whole big scene. So guy leaves the car and goes up the East River Drive, gets to the top, right by the George Washington Bridge, car craps out, right?
Uh-huh. What kind of car was it?
It was a Rolls Royce.
Oh, okay.
So he feels like he's getting his money's worth already.
It was a Silver Eighth, too, if you must know exactly.
Wow.
Right. And so sure enough, the car dies, and we tow it in, and, you know, comes back, and I'll take it home that night, make sure. Drove it home. There was no problem. This is way back in the mid-70s.
Right.
So the next day, they come back to pick up the car again. This time, there's no champagne, and they leave, get to the same point, bang, thing craps out, tow it back in. Now, of course, they've got the salesman there, these British guys. Hey, they don't seem they're just taking it back. They can't quite understand what this is, right?
The guy
is just freaking out, you know.
Sounds like he's done that one too many times.
Yeah, yeah.
And the guy is just flipping out, and his wife is there, and she'd rather have the Red Fox coat, and he bought the car, and of course, the screen, and the guy drops right there. Bang.
Oh.
Right
no
there.
No way.
Way, dude.
That kind of solves that stalling problem,
way,
right?
Dude, right. There yeah. you go. And away he goes.
Now,
so.
What kind, what type of, you know, here we go. Okay. We'll clarify a little bit for you.
He was okay. And he came to enjoy the motor car there.
He did.
Yes, he did.
It wasn't the last vehicle he was ever driving.
No.
We'll clarify a little for the listeners and for the people in the studio. Chris is the voice guy, and he knows the designs, and he knows all the aesthetic things about the cars. I'm the nuts and bolts guy. Not that right. you don't do your nuts and bolts either. I've seen you with nuts, and you're pretty damn good with them, okay?
Thanks for sharing.
So the first thing that comes into my mind is, the hell with the heart attack. Who cares? What kind of electronic ignition is in that car? What components do
well,
they
the same. Well, you got to remember, we're going back into the early 70s okay. there, mid-70s, and they... Lucas, it was, of course,
I
Lucas
thought
Park.
You were going to say that.
Oh, boy.
Of course, it was a Lucas.
Riding with the Prince of Darkness.
Don't let the smoke
out. Start backwards?
Well, what do you mean start backwards?
You hit the Keeney engine start backwards?
Well, then we go, well, that was, of course, that was already after they perfected it.
Nice. Nice.
At least they cranked.
Right,
went
right.
backwards.
Well, actually, when you would shut off the key, there would be one less spark. And, of course, you know, yeah. the engine's always going to stop in one of eight positions if it's an eight cylinder.
Right.
So you had to bring the car down to Brazil so it would start forward.
South of the equator.
South of the equator, exactly right. Well, then it'd be a right hand drive.
Yeah. Would you like a spot of tea, Chris? Yeah.
Well, I love the way he did that voice there. He must have heard those salespeople doing that all the time. Ray Miranda was there as well.
Yeah.
You heard that voice in the background. That was our own Atlantic Auto Body's Ray Miranda. And
all the cripples were in the studio that day. All of us. And the doctor was with us. We all had the same malady.
Well, this is the Motormouth Mother's Day extravaganza, playing the best bits of 06 and 07.
You got to keep listening because you may be next.
Yeah, we got a lot more to go here. Definitely Greg from Seacliff. Your guy Christian is in on this.
Oh, yeah. Christian's good call.
We'll be talking about, we'll be talking with Pat and Gladdy about sauce and gravy and a whole bunch more coming up on the extravaganza on Motormouth Radio.
Hi, this is attorney Ken Landau. For over 15 years, Law You Should Know has brought you ideas and information about the law from lawyers, judges, and other experts. You can use this information to protect yourself and to assert your rights. So please join us for Law You Should Know on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College.
Law You Should Know, Monday at 4 p.m. and Tuesday at 12 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC.
Your car not running right? Let the Motormouths help you out. How about running right? No, sorry.
I thought that was on tape.
This is the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza, playing the best bits of 06 and 07 for you and for all you mothers out there.
And now one of my favorites coming up.
Ooh, this is.
Oh, this is one of my favorites.
Yes.
You went ballistic. You came in ballistic, stoked, and the thing, and the listeners will see, you were prepared, which is a little uncharacteristic, because I'm usually the guy with the list and the folders and the packets and the envelopes and all, but you were shooting for bear that day. This is great. This is classic Chris Switzer.
Well, basically, I got to have one bit where I'm having a stroke.
All you got to do is work on your cars, because that's all you had done. Yeah.
Well, you know, the great automotive debacles was mine this time.
Oh,
and
great.
It was my lack of ability to stop. Check it out on the extravaganza. We were talking back and forth earlier this week. And what I've always realized is an avalanche starts with a voice. Or with a loud noise.
That wasn't mine.
Even a whisper. Yes, it was.
Oh, geez.
Well, here's the reason why.
Okay.
Because you made a statement to me.
Mm-hmm.
You made a statement. You said you've had a brake issue. You've had brake issues going back a while now.
I think I say on this show we commonly have brake issues
that
we talk about.
You know, commonly have a problem with brakes.
Right.
I made a list.
Oh, geez. You wrote something down?
I made a list of my brake woes.
Wait, let me get a picture of this.
Within the last 10 months, okay?
What's the significance of 10 months of brake woes for Chris Switzer?
What a list!
Okay, all right.
Hold on. Just be real brief. Here, look at this. Ray is taking a picture. There you go. All right. Here we go. First off was last year, the Pontiac.
Right.
The rotors were severely out of round when I got the car, and a snap leader screw on the passenger caliper, so it replaced all in a rebleed, right? Mm-hmm. Then on the Bronco, the driver's side caliper locked up on the road. The mechanic replaced it. He rebled it. The Seville.
Oh, boy, the Seville.
Master cylinder leaking. Replace that, a rebleed on that, and that's where I found the snapped bleeder screw on the rear caliper of that car.
Correct.
Back to the Pontiac. Driver's side rear brake line rotted and replaced, rebled that system. That's twice on that one.
Right.
Seville, new rear caliper, bleeder snapped on that, replaced that, another rebleed on that thing. Still didn't get the pedal up on that.
Right.
The Bronco, the brakes actually failed back in the summer.
That's right.
New master cylinder, new metering valve, rebleed that puppy. That's when I found the emergency brake adjuster was all bent and rattling around in the drum in the back.
Right, right.
But the Seville got a new booster after that, just before I sold the car, with the low pedal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Back to the Bronco, and this was 2 weeks ago. New driver's side front caliper. Had to rebleed the system again.
Yes, yes.
Pontiac, rotted out driver's side brake line now. Replaced the passenger, now I replaced the driver's side.
Of course, of course.
There you go.
So the point is?
The point is, I'm not doing brakes anymore.
Go back to coaster brakes. Well, listen, can I introduce our guest? Because people have had enough of you already, I can tell. And we'll never get enough of you. Because that's what keeps this thing going, man, is diatribes like that.
I'm telling you, I don't know how it happened. One happened last week. We'll get to that next week.
Oh, yeah, I got a few of my own.
All I had to do was mow the lawn, and it turned into a debacle. You can't make it up.
Acreage you have out there in Brooklyn, I know, yeah. It's like 3 acres you got to worry about.
Hey, come on, I have an electric lawnmower with an extension cord.
And we know you and electricity. So any 12 volt is bad enough.
Well, you know, this show could not be Motor Mouth Radio without the callers.
No,
you know, the callers are our focal point. The callers are who we love, who we cherish, good or bad. They're always close to our hearts. And one of our newbies.
They're gravy-like, but we'll get to that later.
We'll get to that later, yeah. Yes. And one of our newbies, Christian.
Great guy.
Yeah, called us up with a little issue about an old truck he had.
I'm laughing already.
Here we go on the extravaganza. Let's go to the phones. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, what's up, boys? Good morning to you. It's Christian.
What's doing, Christian? How are you?
How you doing, man?
All right, keeping out of trouble, brother. What's going on?
Oh, man, I got a good one for you.
Talk to us.
I'll make this quick. Remember last week I was trying to get my 64 going?
Right. Last we heard you were going to use ether, and from the lack of the mushroom explosion...
Yeah, we didn't hear any fire calls on the scanner after the show, so we figured you were okay.
You survived. What happened?
I survived, but I tell you, it was rough. I got it running.
Okay.
And that was no problem.
Right.
The deal is I keep the truck at my girlfriend's house, and I had to get it out of there because she's getting a pod delivered.
Because you were breaking up with your girlfriend.
No. She just needs to get a pod.
They were dropping the pod people off.
Whatever. So she's like, I got to get the truck out of there, you know? Yeah, no problem. I get it running.
Hold on, Christian. Hold on. How does your girlfriend sound again? Do it again?
Yeah.
No, really, because we want to ingrain it in your memory because you're going to hear it for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Just giving you a little heads up there, buddy.
Oh, that's nothing. I should just have her call up and give us all the riot act.
Why not? We're used to it.
Yeah, like we haven't heard it before. Yeah, we'll see how good she is. We'll see how good she really is.
Especially when you got old junkers and everything's breaking, you know. And
mm-hmm. Like, talk to me.
Man.
Yes. Right, welcome to our world. Go ahead.
Yeah, I tell you what happened, though. I get it running, pull out of the driveway, get around the block, I hit the first stop sign, hit the brake pedal, right to the floor.
Nice!
Whammo! No brakes!
Well, you see, it could have been the other way. You went for the brake pedal, then you hit the stop sign. That could have been the way it really...
Thank God the tires were still square from the sitting for 3 months. Fully rolled to a stop, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
So, all right, no big deal. I nursed it back over there, put it back in the driveway. The master cylinder went. No big deal. I pulled the master out.
Right.
Go to one stop over in Wantoy, order another one. $26 for a master cylinder.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that nice?
Gotta love it.
You know, it's great, you know?
That's because it's simple. It says Campbell's on the side of it, if you look at it.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, you know how cold it was all week, right? So it's freezing, you know, and I'm like, I'm holding off. Now, Saturday, they're going to deliver this thing. So Friday night, I go over there to throw the master. I put the master in.
Right.
Bleed, you know, it's 4 drum brakes, you know. I bleed. I'm underneath there with my mighty vac. Boom, boom, boom. Bleed it. Get a pedal now. Go start up. Now, when I parked it, because I had no brakes, I put it in second gear. Now I get in there. It's stuck in second gear.
Wait, and it was only there for a couple of days.
I know.
Uh-huh.
So now I'm stuck in gear. So I'm like, no big deal. I'll get it running, and I'll just inch it forward, and it'll pop out, right?
Yeah.
Dump the clutch. Nothing. Falls out. Won't budge. Will not move.
So, man.
So did you slide under the truck and find that little weep hole that's in the transmission and get in there and pry up, pry away the clutch from the flywheel with a screwdriver?
I'll tell you what happened. I got a pry bar and a yoke in the end of the training. I'm trying to break this thing free, right? Right?
Uh-huh.
I'm trying everything. It's like 10:30 at night. I'm out there with a hairdryer trying to thaw this thing out, man. I got the shifter out. I'm pouring PB. I'm shooting PB blasts down the hole, trying to free it up.
Uh-huh.
Nothing. Finally, I give up, man. That's it. I'm yanking the drive shaft out of this thing. We tow it out of the driveway.
Oh, boy. Well, at least you could stop
it. Tow it out into the street.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Now, yesterday, I go over there. It's 12 o'clock in the afternoon. It's 50 degrees. Go in there, hop in, boom, right out of gear.
Uh-huh.
Oh, of course, right?
Had ice in it. You ever heard of that one?
It iced up? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I believe it.
What, the transmission iced up?
What happened was there was probably some moisture or
water.
Water.
Oh, yeah, there was.
Yeah, and that's, you know, in 20 degrees, that turns into trouble.
So the inside of your transmission looked like the inside of the gas tank of Chris's Corvette, where it was more water than fluid.
Yeah.
Wow. So you know what, Christian? You know, I got to tell you, it could save you a lot of trouble, man. Oxyacetylene torch.
You know, I'm at my girlfriend's house. I don't, you know. I ain't got no people
The PB blaster and a hairdryer is like a step below what I'm talking about, all right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah. All right, propane torch. You know, because if you were to open the drain plug and then warm the transmission, whatever was in there theoretically would have melted and right. fell out.
Yeah, it would have evaporated out the top. Sure.
Wait a minute, Christian, the big question is, was it her hairdryer?
It was hers, yeah.
And was it white before you grabbed it with your greasy paws?
Yeah, probably, probably using it. It smells like, what's that smell? It
smells like 90 weight. Hot 90 weight. Ooh. Only thing better than hot tuna.
Dude, that's brilliant.
That's it.
Christian, thank you so much for the call. Hot tuna.
And we never did find out if his girlfriend flipped over the greasy hair dryer.
But I'm glad to know that I'm not the only one that has brake issues.
Yes. Oh, we've had complete shows on brake woes and not just yours.
And talking about complete shows.
Yeah.
How about the next bit that we have?
Oh, this started a maelstrom. Is that the right word?
I think a
furor. Right, yeah. And the whole show, and it followed us for a couple of weeks, in fact, and it came back to haunt us.
It sure did, and sometimes I think it keeps coming back to haunt us. Let's take you back to that golden month.
Of October of 2006.
Yes, and our own Greg from Seacliff had a little problem with a wheel. He couldn't get off his truck.
Oh, boy.
Check it out on the Motor Mouth Mother's Day Extravaganza.
Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Greg from Seacliff.
Hey.
I got to go down to New Orleans to deliver some equipment.
Oh, really?
Whatever happened with the excursion, Greg?
Oh, you know what? It turned out I replaced the right side bearing.
Okay, so that solved that wah-wah-wah noise, right?
No, it was the left side.
No, well, so that just means your ears are out of whack.
It just means you're not versed on the Doppler theory.
My wump-wump theory didn't work.
Right.
So $800 later, I got two new brand new bearing assemblies in the front, all new brakes on the front. Here's my new problem.
Uh-oh.
I cannot get the rear wheels off.
Off.
It's all right. I can't get the brake drums off my wife's car.
Come off the hub carriers.
Okay, you know what? I had that problem on my wife's Mazda. The aluminum wheels were stuck to the hubs.
Oh. I drove 20 miles with the rear lugs half turned loose. It would not come loose.
You Wacko. Are nuts.
You are a stroons.
I smacked them. I took a pry bar against the brake disc to the wheel. It would not pop off. I kicked it till my family jewels were killing me.
Yeah, they were banging off the concrete, right?
Come off! What am I going to do, Ray? Gotta help me.
Okay, you know what? Only since you've gone through all those measures already that I would have recommended a big, you know, a big mallet on a tire.
I should talk like this. Ray, you got to
help
me. Right. I need an ice pack.
Try.
Hold them and give me an ice pack.
Try hitting the center of the rim with heat.
On an aluminum wheel? You're a crazy man.
Yeah, look, what's he trying already? He's driving around with his lug nuts half off. What are you know, is it gonna hurt?
Yeah. That truck weighs 7,500 pounds. I'm ripping it back and forth like a slack car. It won't come off.
Wow.
Jack it up, get the lugs, you know, back the lugs off, heat the center of the rim with heat, and I don't know, you know, whatever. Whatever level you're comfortable with, hair dryer, I would say screw that. No, Burns-O-Matic torch for kids. I'd get out my oxyacetylene, but you know I wouldn't be hitting it like from an inch away.
I'm getting out my AR-10, Ray. It's 308.
Oh. All right, listen, I'll come over with the Mauser. We'll take target practice out.
You know what the dealer tells me?
What's that?
Because look, I didn't tell you this, but get a big sledgehammer, beat the from the back of the tire.
From the, well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. A sledgehammer, you know, against on the tire, not on the rim. Hit
right,
the,
right.
But you know, but remember, it's gonna.
Man, you guys are talking real dangerous.
Remember,
I'm
when,
out of this.
When you hit that tire, that sledge is gonna bounce.
Yeah.
So don't
yeah,
be like.
Rubber hammer hit me in the head.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I've done. I've been.
Hammer bounced off the tire, came back, and hit me in the forehead.
I've done that. And
I
and
feel better now.
Well, yeah. I know. Clears up a lot of things.
From New Orleans.
The thing to do, though, once you do get it off, is clean off the back of the hub mating surface on the wheel and the truck, and then a light coating of grease or Nevisea, something to put a barrier in there.
Right.
Yeah.
By the way, kudos to Firestone in West Palm Beach for not doing that a year and a half ago.
Yeah, right? I know.
And I tipped the guy, too.
Yeah, of course.
You told him, don't ride your bike on broken glass. There's
oh,
a tip.
Uh-huh. What can I bring you back from New Orleans?
Oh, something Cajun, man. I don't know. I'd...
Yeah.
Let's have a barbecue.
Right, definitely. Some crawfish.
All right, boys, bye.
Thanks,
bye,
buddy. Did he ever get back from New Orleans? I don't know.
I don't know. Who knows? Who knows if he ever got that wheel off that? I think he did.
That must have been that projectile on the Northern State that went by me.
Well, one way or another, that one call sparked a whole bunch of ideas and concepts on how to get a stuck wheel off.
And how not to get a stuck.
And how not to get a stuck
the
wheel
whole
off.
Show.
Yeah. So we were talking, you know, the last part of that call was talking about food, right?
Yeah, of course.
So we're going to stay with the food thing.
Yes.
Yes. And we're going to talk to my cousin Pat and my cousin Gladdy about from On Spot Chains.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to them about the difference between sauce and gravy. Check it out on the Motormouth Mother's Day Extravaganza. Get on the subject of cars. It ends up going to food. I know Ray will always take it to lemon meringue pies. Or it'll
in
go
fact, it's we got sauce at the house today. It's not gravy; it's sauce because
well,
we got
brajoles,
is meatballs, is brajoles. What do you think? You make an Italian sauce, right? Spaghetti sauce.
Yeah.
When I go to food, we go to food.
Right.
Is it a sauce or is it a gravy?
It's sauce.
Okay, why?
Because
this is a long debate. I grew up with the sauce.
Let's get my mother-in-law to call in on this
you
one.
You didn't get
well, Chris.
On gravy.
No, Chris
well,
had the best explanation I have heard yet.
Yeah.
And I've actually defended it in public.
It's sauce when there's no meat in it.
No. It was gravy with no meat. When
no,
you add
so
meat, it becomes a meat sauce, is what you said.
I said,
which
I
thought made
one.
A lot of
what?
Sense. Yeah, gravy is gravy has a thinner consistency, no meat, right?
I thought gravy was with the meat in it.
No, I thought
and
I remember
so,
you saying that. Well,
wait.
I maybe I heard what I wanted to hear.
Glad you better get your mom to call in here quick.
Well, we got a sauce.
Mom, call in, tell them it's sauce. And your grandmother
on,
never called it gravy.
And
that's true.
And I've asked some stone cold Italians about this, and I really raise a lot of ruffles when I do that.
Hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, it's Lou in Franklin Square again.
What's up, Lou?
Yeah, I heard you put a call out for the gravy sauce argument.
Go.
You know, I just, in my past, I am a culinary trained chef. So.
Oh, okay, good.
Yay.
Perfect.
And what really makes it gravy is it's got to be made from meat drippings.
Meat drippings.
Oh. Okay.
That's the start of a gravy.
Well, wait a minute. When you make an Italian sauce, a red sauce, it's not meat drippings. It's tomato-based.
Right.
Right, exactly. In fact, when it's made the French method, which is the people they claim that actually invented it, which is nonsense, it's starting off with the chopped vegetables and the garlic at the bottom of the pot, and then you're adding the tomato.
Well,
and when you do it that way,
I tell you,
you never start off with drippings or an au jus, and without an au jus,
yeah.
It can't be a gravy.
I did learn to start by braising some garlic and some onions, onion and some garlic in the pan first, a little bit of olive oil,
yes.
And then get the meatballs and you braise those in the oil, then take those out, and then you add in the tomatoes, you know, the paste and the puree, and,
all right,
and everything.
Right. And you can make it with or without meat. We've had that argument for years.
Yes,
right.
But it's still sauce.
I have friends that are vegetarians. And when it's done, if you do it right, it's hard to tell the difference.
Son of a gun.
Excellent.
Yeah. Luke, thank you so much.
All right, take it easy, guys.
We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
So is it meat? Is it gravy or is it sauce now?
It's chains, it's transmissions, it's sauce, and it's remotes.
Right. Hey,
that's where it
Motor Mouth Radio, folks.
That's where it goes. So my grandmother would never call it sauce, or she would always call it gravy?
She called it sauce. She never called it gravy.
She never called it gravy.
Never
yeah,
called
I grew
it gravy.
Up on
okay.
Sauce.
All right.
Now, my godfather from New Jersey, he also contends that it's never, you know, it was never pasta. It was always macaroni.
That's right.
So that's another one right. That we really very, we haven't breached as much, but...
That's
what's
the difference between pasta and macaroni is?
You know what? Well, that's what I say. You know what? Feed me. I don't care what you want to call it. Just feed me. I don't. You know?
I think macaroni was a certain shape, was the elbow shape.
Could be. Elbow that, macaroni.
Yeah.
See, some names go together, right?
Pasta mm-hmm. just covers the
that's
whole.
That's the generic.
Generic.
Right. Hey, you know, what are you going to do?
That's what cracks me up about this.
A little bit of this. Gotcha.
I tell you, the God's honest truth, Pat, I am always amazed.
As are our listeners.
I just back away. I just go, all right.
Hey, but you got to say, you have fun doing it, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we've gotten on so many subjects talking about cars. We've gotten on politics. We've gotten on food.
Yes,
we've gotten on relationships.
Raising children.
Yeah, right. Rearing children. We've gotten on all these subjects just talking about cars, which kind of like...
Computer software.
Yes.
We've gotten, you know, there's ties into that. There's, yeah, many, many things.
Talks a lot about it.
It goes to show the depth and breadth and the range of this show. Yeah. We're not.
And just to find out that Lou is a culinary chef.
Well, I got that by Chef Lou, his name on the message board.
Oh, okay.
Chef Lou.
Yeah, Chef
that
Lou.
That was the first tip-off.
You betcha. That was the first tip-off. I forgot Lou from Franklin Square was in that call as well.
Here we are with Alton Brown and the Barefoot Contessa. Our alter egos.
It's the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza, taking the best bits of 06 and 07 for all you mothers out there.
Having fun yet? I know I am.
And happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there.
Absolutely.
Got more stuff coming your way. We got the Bronc. We have, let's see what else. We got a little contemplation of a wire brush.
Oh, yes.
We got Joe the Undertaker and the classic from Tom Portese.
Oh, there's a lot more to come.
Oh, there certainly is on the Extravaganza. So keep where you got it. It's a Motormouth Radio.
Hi, this is Anthony Miller, host of the Soul Cafe, inviting you to join me as we listen to the very best in classic soul and today's R&B. We'll hear from all the favorites such as Curtis Mayfield, the Isley Brothers, and James Brown. And don't forget about those inspirations. Mr. Donnie McClurkin, Yolanda Adams, and Kirk Franklin, and much more. So be sure to tune into the Soul Cafe right here on 90.3 FM, WHPC, the radio voice of Nassau Community College.
The Soul Cafe, Wednesday at 5 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC.
Hi, I'm Cindy, an actor looking for inspiration, and I found mine decades ago as a student in the New York City school system. I love my teachers. Not a day goes by that I don't use some. Me. Oh, and Mr. Barada, you and Shakespeare are right. All the world the stage. Join New York's Teach NYC. Go to www.teachnyc.net to find out more. This message brought to you by the New York City Department of Education, Appleseed, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Motormouth Radio. This is Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza, taking those best bits of 06 and I would like just say happy Mother's Day, really, to all moms. They're there for us. They were always there for us. They don't help us with our personal problems. Well, some of the mothers don't, but they were there for us. And talk about personal problems here. This is a classic we have. It is from our West Coast correspondent, otherwise known as the Bronc, and he has a personal problem of his own when he called in. So we're going to check it out right here on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza, the official mayor of Sparks, Nevada, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Good morning out there. How
What's
you
up,
doing?
Cutie pie?
Not much. Just getting up, having my coffee, and I figure I'll annoy somebody.
You know him, you love him. He's on your list. He's on ours, ladies and gentlemen. The Bronc from all points west.
Right. I'm scattered all over the place. They call
you
me that.
Certainly are.
Right, hey, what's going on today?
We were talking about the most useless tool that people have in their collection.
Most useless tool?
Yeah.
My wife.
No, actually, she could be handy to hand you stuff, hold this, you know.
They always give you the wrong stuff, and they say, you don't need that. What do you want that for?
Let me see if this jack holds. Get under the car.
Right.
And
okay, the most useless tool you don't have to feed on a regular basis. How's that?
The most useless tool I don't have to feed on a regular basis. That's a good question. Let me see. I got a whole bunch of useless tools. You know, you use them once and then that's it.
One sits between your ears, right?
Yeah, it depends. I got tools going back to the 60s.
And if you spend a lot of money on that tool, you really feel duped, don't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was just talking about Mike over at Mike's Surf Glass.
We were, too.
And we were talking about dumb tools yesterday for some reason.
Uh-huh.
And he was working on one of these Japanese cars, and he needed a 30-millimeter type wrench.
Okay.
And it cost him $90, and he bought it a number of years ago. And he said it's sitting in his box. He used it twice.
Well,
so
yeah.
That would classify as a useless tool.
You know, Chris had mentioned on the Motormouth message board at motormouthradio.com that he had a 32-millimeter socket, and I brought in my 38-millimeter snap-on socket that I bought, obviously, to do an axle job on a foreign car.
Right.
And I probably paid an arm and a leg for this thing because it's an impact socket to boot.
Right, yeah. Right.
And now I have a little American flag in it, a fake flower, and a couple of pens, and that's...
It looks right at home.
You buried your puppy inside of it, too.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. It's,
right,
well, it's big enough.
A little mini coffin.
I bought a 32-millimeter socket to take the rear nut off the back of a Wankel rotary engine. The flywheel had one whole huge nut holding it. And I think I paid, like, $50 or $60 for the socket, like Ray was saying, and it's sitting on my desk somewhere holding up like a couple of pencils.
You know what I find is useless? Every time I go to use it, a quarter-inch drive, flexible shaft. It's about 8 inches long.
With a little spring type thing on it.
A little spring type.
Got one.
Totally useless.
You're right.
I have
totally
one. I don't think I ever use it.
Yeah, I used it once and I bent it, and it's sitting in a box. Yeah, I'm just looking.
It's supposed to bend. It's flexible.
Right, flexible, useless tool.
This thing is broken. Throw it away.
Or the dollar magnets. You
know, I always get the bent one.
These little telescoping dollar magnets.
Warped
on
one.
The other side, they have a little mirror on it, like a dentist mirror.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Totally useless.
Completely useless. You're right.
Can't see anything, and it's always full of grease prints. So I think that would qualify for that.
Pretty much, yeah, definitely.
And then another one nowadays that's pretty useless is, if you remember your old radiator clamps, that was just a spring with two sticks of wire sticking out?
Yeah, they were the dealer clamps.
I have the pliers to undo those.
That's what I'm talking about. The pliers to take that one spring clamp off.
I actually made a spring clamp plier using a Dremel and a regular set of, just
grind a pair of pliers, sure.
Yeah, that's what I did.
I grinded. But you know what? I'll tell you something. I used those not too long ago on something. I can't remember what it was, but I did just use those on something.
Yeah,
and
the reason I thought of that is, I'm putting a Corvette, trying to get it as original as possible, so I ordered all original clamps.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
and I dug out these pliers in the bottom of the box, and there they were.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
Hey, Bronc, I have a screwdriver that really isn't a screwdriver. Where the blade would be, it's shaped like a figure eight. Does that make sense?
I have a whole set of them.
You do?
I have a whole set of them.
I don't know what.
It's called
a
clutch head. Driver.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never, ever.
Oh, yeah,
a 55 Chevy parking brake handle is affixed to the
That's
the
what
dash.
My dad says, because I got it from my father. He says he used it on a 57 Chevy.
I got a whole set of them.
They used them on headlights a long time ago, too.
See what you learn when you come to Motormouth Radio, folks.
Holy cats.
Yep.
I have this dopey thing sitting. I've been literally, I'm waiting for the day I need a screwdriver and that thing is there and I have my grinder with me. I'm just going to just cut the head off that puppy and just grind it down with a screwdriver.
You got to buy an old car, man.
I swear, I've never used this thing before in my life, and it's got a nice handle.
You know what else uses clutch head screws? On a Holley 4160 four-barrel carburetor that has a front metering block but a rear metering plate. The rear metering plate is held on with very small clutch head screws.
Holy cats.
Yeah, it's funny. I got those, too. Just thinking about it.
There you go.
Hey, going back, and if you don't have it, you're screwed.
No, you really can't use anything in a clutch head.
Nothing works.
Yeah, I believe it.
You don't have any other figure eight tools in your arsenal, unfortunately.
Crazy stuff.
Bronc, we got to go. We're going to take a break.
Before you go, I'm going to give you 5 reasons that you know you're getting old.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
Number 1, your houseplants are alive and you can't smoke them anymore.
You didn't hear the song of the week.
Yeah, really. 6 a.m. is when you get up and not when you go to bed. All right.
Okay.
And you hear your favorite songs in an elevator.
All right.
That I've done, yeah.
All right. And now you're calling the police at 10 o'clock because the kids next door will turn down the stereo.
The kids in my house.
That is so far. And finally, the biggie.
Yeah.
You go to the drugstore for ibuprofen and antacids, not condoms and pregnancy tests.
Yeah.
I'll speak to you later.
Ray, have a great one.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You had to throw in that 5, that countdown.
We usually don't do lists.
Yeah, it's true.
But that was a good one.
That was pretty cool. This is the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza, playing those best bits from 06 and 07. And we got a classic talking about
Another
useless tools.
Another one of my favorites.
Yes. This is the one that every time I hear it, I do laugh out loud.
It's my favorite because I get to lambaste you. That's why I like it, because it's so true. I saw this with my own 2 eyes, folks. You got
to
hear it.
Let's take you back to October of 06. And Ray,
07.
No, it's 06.
No, you said 07.
Yeah,
you can't even write straight.
Jeez.
You have to see the correction and then go over it.
Yeah, well, I see. I guess you're ahead of me there.
Just because I type doesn't mean I'm accurate.
True.
Okay, Ray is evaluating my wire brush. Check it out on the Extravaganza.
A good wire brush, never be without one, especially the ones I like. There are wire brushes that pretty much you have in stages. The good wire brush that has all the bristles all pointing in the same direction.
I was just going to say, and I must interject, folks.
Please.
After having the visual and knowing what your fingernail
brush.
Cleaning brush looks like,
you
got me laughing thinking that, yeah, you have a wire brush where all the bristles point in one direction. Right. You probably have more directions than a compass rose.
You know what it looks like?
It's like a wire ball. Yeah. I know. And folks, I haven't seen it. I just know him all too well.
It's a wire ball.
Yeah, I believe
at
it.
The end of a stick.
Uh-huh, sure.
I believe it started out as a wire brush.
Sure. See, at some point along the line, now I believe, and people who know me, they've accused me of being sometimes cheap.
You?
But, yeah, believe it or not. And in this regard only. But what I like to do is I like to eke the most amount of utility out of an item.
Thank you.
Be it a car, a wire brush.
Thank you.
But there's a caveat to that. There's a point where when your wire brush becomes a wire ball, it's time to go buy a new one. Because you'll be surprised how much better. Like, wow, I didn't know this could work so good. Like when you change the hacksaw blade, now it cuts again. You know?
A classic. The wire brush, infamous wire brush debacle going on the Motormouth Mother's Day extravaganza.
Love it.
Did you find a tissue?
No, and you still haven't found a wire brush for your toolbox either, I'm sure.
You saw it. It was under the hood of the car.
I know. It belonged under the wheel of the car.
Let's go right along. Back to the callers. Back to the fun. You know that. Joe the Undertaker.
Oh, yeah.
One of our classics. I don't know how anybody can mix up files, iPods, and igloos in one phone call on a car show.
He did it.
But he did it, and here's how it sounded. Hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Good morning, Chris. Morning, Ray.
Hey, Chuck, how are you?
I'm good. First of all, I want to say Happy New Year to you guys.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
I hope you have a good one, a good healthy one. Listen,
thank you.
Chris, no compression fittings, and you have to double flare it.
Yes.
Are you out of your mind?
Yes, he is.
Said. Your airbag's working?
Right.
Really? That's mechanics 101, Chris.
Oh,
well,
You gotta do it.
I think we got to the bottom of it, Chuck. He only has a single flare tool, so he didn't have the ability.
Well, I'll be more than happy to lend him the double flare.
Yes.
I was thinking about this, you know, if I'm going to get lambasted for this, I might as well just go and spend the, 20, 30 bucks, go get the double flare tool.
I don't even think it's that much. You can get a little set of buttons.
Now I know what I should have got you for Christmas.
All the flares, the 3/8, the 5/16, your quarter, whatever.
Yeah, your common sizes.
Yeah, this is actually a small one. It's like a 1/8.
Really?
The small the brake line, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They usually come in a standard kit,
yes.
Right? There's like four or five of them in the kit.
You know what?
I
got to tell you, when I got my double flare tool many years ago, and I started using it and saw how easy it was to use, I started doing something. I said, you know what? Remember, you cut a fuel line and you got to put an inline fuel filter in a car, a carbureted car with a piece of hose.
Right.
I found out that, boy, you put a single flare on that, slip the hose over it. Now you got something to bite. You know, put the hose clamp just south of that flare.
Right.
And then, so I found out that this is good for more than just brake line. You can use it for other stuff too.
That's cool.
Sure. It acts like a barb fitting.
Yeah, if you get like Locatelli number 3, the real thin Monocotti, you can even put a flare on those and it holds the meat sauce so much better.
A lot better.
Yes.
All right, listen. You guys have a good New Year's. I just wanted to say hi and wish you that. And Chris, go get that flaring tool.
Thanks, Chuck.
Thanks, Chuck.
All right, boy.
It's all on.
I'll see you around.
Take care. Have a happy New Year.
Bye bye.
Thanks. Bye. Okay, Chuck says it.
Have you had enough yet?
I've...
Call up and lambaste Chris, folks. He needs it because obviously he's been doing... We wonder why he has all these brake problems throughout the year, and the rest of us say, boy, he must just have bad luck.
No, he's just an idiot.
He's got bad practices is what it is.
I should be lambasted because that was Chuck.
That was Chuck, not Joe. And of course, it came back to meat sauce.
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
That's right. But that was caller Chuck. Lambasting me about my brake issues.
Rightfully so.
And I should be lambasted, and I should put these bits in order.
Yeah.
Now let's take it to Joe the Undertaker and his rendition of files, iPods,
and igloos.
Oh, he
here on the Motormouth Mother's Day Extravaganza.
Hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, how you doing?
Yay. Who's this?
It's Joe.
Hey, Joe. How are you? Oh, God. We haven't heard your voice in a while. How you been, Joe the Undertaker? What's going on?
Just been busy running around and everything. Haven't had a chance or a reason to call, so.
Where's my damn wheels?
I know. I haven't found out the price of aluminum.
I think it was December. He emails me, which you can do, folks. You can email us at motormouthradio@ncc.edu. And Joe said a friend had some Fiat wheels, which I really can't use for the car, but I can use them for a roll around when I put it in the body shop.
Right.
And they're nice little aluminum wheels, but I'm still waiting. I thought Joe fell off the face of the earth.
He did. We didn't recognize his voice.
But apparently he didn't.
Yes. What's up, bro?
No, I was just going to say that with the radio shows and everything like that, you know, the people that are cheap, they don't want to pay for the services and all. They'll still be listening to it.
Yeah, like us.
You also have people swapping files. So as long as people keep spreading the word or the MP3 files.
You know, Joe, you're right. I gave Chris a rasp last week. He gave me a bastard.
files.
We swap files.
Like you said,
next week we're
going to
swap hammers.
What was it? Your nephew or somebody had the
my daughter.
The tune.
Yeah.
The opening tune on the MP3. So.
Oh, Jay.
Oh yeah. That's my godson. Yeah.
Yes, which scares the heck out of me.
It was the promo, not the opening. It was
which
promo
was it? The first one or the second?
The second one.
So it was not the November one. It was the January promo, one, which is the better one of the two. I'm
waiting for the third one still.
Yeah, the third one we're working on.
And you can hear the reason for giving you guys a call was that, you know, talking about working on cars in bad weather struck a chord. Years back, I actually let them plow in my car, dug it out, and worked in an igloo.
Joe, that's a first. Man, that's a first.
Joe, if there's anyone who would probably tell a story like that, it would be you.
So I guess if you were the masochistic mechanic, you'd build an igloo, then put your kerosene-fired space heater in there with you, right, and let it rain on you. Then it'll re-ice,
or start welding.
And then you could see if your ice pick works. Oh, Joe, that's funny.
Yeah,
that's brilliant.
That was a good insulator.
Oh, yeah, it is. As long as you're not doing anything warm.
I prefer, like, duck down or wool. Some of the other warmer elements.
Joe, thanks so much for the call.
No problem.
All right, Joe.
We'll talk to you soon. Yeah. Can you beat that? Can you just beat that call?
Yeah, you can do it without cracking your voice. We learned Chris is still hitting puberty here, folks.
Well, I'm thinking, I'm trying to picture in my mind this crazy man who's got an igloo, a snow igloo, and he's got, like, I could just see the back of the car sticking out of this big snowbank.
What do you do for light? Yeah, you drop light? I don't know.
I have no clue. But we're going to talk about something. We're going to get intimate now.
Okay.
We're going to get intimate here on the Motormouth Mother's Day Extravaganza.
We've been known to do that.
Yes, we have. Because Tom Nelson from Rolling Thunder Cycles.
In scenic downtown Hempstead.
Yes, scenic is right. Has got a secret about you.
And he shared it.
And he shared it.
I still don't know what it is, even though I heard it again.
Well, let's listen.
Let's find out.
Let's listen to it again here on the Extravaganza. You're on with the Motormouths. What are you driving? What's wrong with it?
My name is Tom Ray.
Hey, Tom.
Hey,
How's
Tom.
How's it going?
Tom Nelson from Rolling Thunder Cycles, folks. We just sold you down the river.
This is amazing. You know, I called. I heard like one dial tone, and I got right through.
Wow. That dial tone was in my head, actually.
Ray, you know what? You got a little problem now, because I'm going to tell Chris exactly what the gig is with the guy he sits next to, which is you, Ray.
Oh, no. Okay.
And, Chris, say is that you're talking GTOs. When you go out to buy a nice muscle car.
Yeah.
I asked my friend Ray about 5 years ago. I was looking at a Pontiac Le Mans convertible.
Beautiful car.
And
right.
I said, Ray, the guy wants about 15, 14. Maybe I can get him really low, close to 11.
And it was a done car, guys.
I said, I have no idea.
Convertible.
First car, muscle car. I've had some antiques, bikes. I don't know. Ray says, no problem. He says, we'll go along. We'll stop at the guy's house.
Right.
We'll have him pull a car out. We'll look around, and I'll tell you what's going on with it, if it's worth the price. I said, but Ray, how am I really going to know? So, Chris, your buddy Ray said, Tom, I got the perfect idea.
What?
If it looks good.
Yes.
And we got to look under the hood, which Ray says, you got to look under the hood. You got to know what's under there.
Mandatory.
He said, I'll make a comment, and I'll put 10 fingers on the side of the fender and slam 10 fingers down, meaning this is good, buy this car.
Did I do that?
So all of a sudden, the Caucus.
I didn't realize Ray was so covert.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah.
Ray's the man who knows, so I'm following his instructions. What do I know? So we pull up to the house. Ray goes, God, the paint looks good. The suspension's good. It's sitting
up. The door green.
It's green. Nice. It's a white top. It's all straight. I says, Ray, beautiful. It's a 50,000-mile carved. It's original sheet metal, blah, blah, blah.
Brand new Rally 2s.
So Ray walks around and goes, Rally Wheels. I says, hey, Al, how you doing? Hey, Al, this is my friend Ray. So Ray goes, yeah, you know, Tom, he tells me under his breath, well, Al's on the other side of the car. It's $13,000, $14,000. I wouldn't give more than $12,000. This and he goes, hey, Al, Ray says, do you mind opening the hood? So Al goes, no problem. He opens the hood, and when the hood comes up, it was all done.
All detailed.
Painted, detailed Edelbrock covers.
Desert cooler, aluminum radiator.
Manifold, so aluminum radiator, $400 plenum special. A guy that did it used to run like something like a NASCAR thing.
Okay, so I'm getting my checkbook out
right
here.
Thing, and so all of a sudden, Ray goes, well, Al, here's the punchline, Chris.
Okay.
This is the man you're sitting next to.
Yes.
Well, Al, you got a lot of goodies in here. And he slams 10 fingers down on the car, on the fender.
Right.
And I said, that's my cue. And you know what your buddy next to you said to me?
What?
He goes, I'll buy it right now.
Of course.
I said, Ray. No effing way. I brought you here to do it. What's the deal? He goes, yeah, you're right. Sorry, you're right. So right then and there, he says, Al, I want to buy the car.
Yeah.
So that's the guy you're sitting next to,
he
Fred.
Sold yeah. you down the river, Tom.
So watch your back. Be careful.
That's
the
right.
greatest guy in the world, but you know what? He looked at me and had the audacity to say, I'll buy it right now. But you know what? That was instinct. That's a Motormouth guy.
Hey, let me
so
tell
you had a bit of more.
There was Steve Shepard in there, too, wasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, those are the bits that make this show what it is.
I say someday we'll get one of your buddies who'll tell one of your car buying secrets on the air.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of buddies.
Yeah.
It's the infamous the time of the show where we have Bob and Ron.
A moment with Bob.
A moment with Bob. But only this time we show why charming Ron...
You show him a lot, boy, I tell you. You're on top of Ron like white on rice.
And here's why on the extravaganza. Because that is, I mean, you know, the Father's Day show, and we do...
Right,
all, that's
right.
That's
true. That became a
that's
tradition.
It's the one...
That's the right of...
Times what? Yeah. Go ahead.
I don't know.
Go ahead, explain it.
I don't. I'm a
don't
teacher.
Say I don't know. You gotta explain it now.
I love you.
You're under the gun now. Go.
It's just one of those things that happens every year. You know.
Which is what?
It's like spring that you know.
Which is what?
Whenever.
Which is what?
Sure. Congratulations, Chris. You have flustered Ron. That does not happen often.
Look at him. He's turning red.
He is.
Look at him. He's a beak.
I'm taking it up to you.
Right. It's usually Uncle Switzy that turns
you know
the color.
That. I'll be in the car going home with Bob going, I know what I should have said.
What you're saying is it's Father's Day show that the three old cranks do at Fireman's Field in Merrick, Long Island, and it's one of the few times that all the Motormouths get together for this one grand occasion.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Thank you
so much.
I
couldn't think of it. There you go. Can you give this man a dollar now?
I have a dirty tissue.
Nice, Ron. Nice.
Well, wouldn't let him up.
No. That was great. You were on him like a wet blanket. The thing is, though, that Father's Day show is coming up on June 17th, Father's Day this year, 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Be there.
Yes. Exactly. Speaking of being there.
Oh, man. You heard about it? You were prepped for it?
One of my favorites.
Oh, this is everybody's favorite.
I'm telling you. I another one of those guaranteed crack-ups. I could listen to it 100 times and crack up 100 times.
Priests cover their eyes and ears when they hear this bit. Because, what can you say? I don't know if you can enter this, but the gravy and sauce debate arose again where we didn't expect it.
Right.
And at the least... not the least opportune moment, but at the strangest time.
Oh, you betcha. And our favorite caller, Lorraine, serves it up for us here on the Motormouth Radio Extravaganza.
I had a bit of an epiphany the other day.
Oh,
thought,
boy.
You know, I like to think in terms of...
Did you get an inoculation for that?
I did, but it made it worse.
Oh, okay.
I like to think in terms of what we do and what happens on the show, believe it or not. And one of the things I thought of...
I forget about the show the second we turn the mics off.
I know. I know. That's why I got to say, Chris, where am I? Where am I? Yeah, we're still in the studio, you moron. Come on. No, good callers on this show, to me, are like the gravy on our meat. Yeah, that stood you straight up.
Say.
That stood you straight
up. It certainly did stand
me
straight up, Ray.
But mind you, that's probably the only time I'll endorse gravy on this show, unless we're talking about roast beef or turkey.
Uh-oh. We're going back to that again. I have to get a call from my cousin Gladys again, you know, telling me what my grandmother would say?
I was thinking about the gravy, and I said, you know, our callers are like the gravy on the meat. It's like the topping that really rounds out the whole show. Without the callers, you know, where would it be? We'd just be two guys yapping our gums like we do after the show, before the show.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, that's never happened before.
Right, well, but now you know there's people listening. Just scary.
Let's go back to the phones and back to the you-know-what. Hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hi, this is Lorraine.
Hi, Lorraine.
Hey, Lorraine.
I'm on my way to church, believe it or not, at 12:15, and I'm late.
God bless you.
I just wanted to be the gravy on your meat.
Well, Chris is dripping right now as you say that, Lorraine. You should...
It made my husband stand up, too.
My Lord, and you're on your way to church. You better say an extra Hail Mary today, okay?
I do, but am I the gravy on your meat?
Yeah, I guess you are.
And Chris, you know how I feel about you, baby.
Thank you, my darling. You are certainly... To my own personal gravy and giblets.
Too bad you can't catch confession before the mass.
I know. I'm in big trouble now, and I'm late. I probably missed the first reading. But anyway, I want to remind you, you know, Father's Day's coming, so start talking it up, baby.
Betcha.
All right, I'll see you, Chris, at Father's Day show.
I hope so.
Okay, bye.
Okay, Lorraine, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. God bless her heart.
And I hope he will, because she's going to his house, so... If the doors are bolted closed, we'll know there was a problem.
If we hear a lightning bolt.
Yeah, a big crack.
This is the Motor Mouth Radio Mother's Day extravaganza, and, you know, it is the gravy on our meat.
That stands by itself. That was priceless.
It sure does. All right, we're going to close this show out with one of our favorite closeouts.
This is probably the only closeout we've had like this.
And seriously, probably the only closeout we'll ever get this way again.
Until we get this guy back in.
Right. Dennis Kulak and, of course, Tom Portese.
From Long Island Studebaker's Club.
Oh, my gosh. The only thing I could do is just play it.
This is totally off the cuff.
This is the Motor Mouth Radio Mother's Day extravaganza, and this is the best bit from 06 and 07.
Absolutely.
Check it out.
You sing us out or what?
Oh, boy.
Come on.
Little Hank. Let's see. Hank Williams, huh? One of my favorites.
Yeah.
Hey, you're cheating heart. Who will tell on you? You cry and cry and try to sleep, but sleep won't come the whole night through. Your cheating heart will tell on you when tears come down like falling rain.
Are you ready for some football?
Wow.
And call my name.
Bring it home.
You'll walk the floor just the way that I do. Your cheating heart will tell on you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the soft...
Available on 8-track.
And reel-to-reel tape.
The soft, sultry sounds of Tom Portese.
Thank you, Tom. Priceless. Well,
that looks like it. There you go. The best bits of 2006-2007 on the Motor Mouth Radio Mother's Day extravaganza. All I can say is I'm just amazed.
We'll be back next week to amass more of the same for next year.
That's it, exactly. Right. To collect more bits from 2007, 2008.
This year and next.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.